Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey everyone, welcome once again into the secret world of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and joining me as always, it's Callan. Hey Cal.
Hello.
This episode we watched season 2 episode 11 of The Secret World of Alex Mack, Ray Goes to Washington, a student election themed episode. But before we get into the episode, should we start off with one of these?
Don't you want a Mack fact? Don't you want a fact?
Ooh.
So, Cal, today, look, this isn't so much a Mack fact as it is a Mack theory. Because I don't know about you, Callan, but I, for one, think that we've had enough of these so-called experts and their so-called facts. And I think it's time that we kind of pull the curtain back and take a look a little bit deeper at what's really going on with Alex Mack.
Funny, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Look, I just think these lamestream Alex Mack episodes aren't telling us the whole truth. But look, I've done my own research. Why don't you try it? And have found some pretty convincing evidence that something is going on. So, Cal, if you remember a few episodes ago, we were talking about, it was the episode where Alex joined the athletics team, the track team.
Mm-hmm.
Vince was trying to find out more about the students by getting teachers to like write reports on all the students in the guise of, picking out students that were going to be eligible for a scholarship or something, or like a gifted children's fund.
Yep.
And I mentioned that I noticed that one of the forms, they flashed it up on screen. The note about the kid was that they'd memorized the entire text of the firm.
Yeah. Did you go in and like read the script of the firms to look for Alex Mack Easter eggs?
No, I didn't do that. But when I was editing the episode, you might have noticed, listener at home, that each episode has a little screenshot from the episode of Alex Mack that we watched. So I was thinking about using the image of the form as the screenshot. And Cal, I'm going to send the screenshot to you right now in our little chat window.
Mm-hmm.
Now do me a favor, open up that image. And just tell me what you see on there.
Okay. So do you want me to read through the sections?
Yeah, go on. Read through the sections.
All right. So the top says Paradise Valley Chemical Plant Student Observation Report. Name of observed pupil is William Grack. Activity observed, memorize the entire text of the firm. Location observed, AJHS.
I believe that's Atron Junior High School.
Uh-huh.
This next section, though, Callan, tell me what's on the next line.
The time and date.
Yeah. And what is the time and date?
The 8th of the 2nd. 07.
07. Is Alex Mack set in the distant future of 2007?
Oh, Kevin 07.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's a good pickup. Was it 97 that it was made?
It was 90. Well, this season was out in 1995.
Yeah, that is strange. Well, they don't. No, because you know how America does the dates weird.
I know. Hey, I've looked at this every which way, Callan. I've dissected this. Haven't had much on this week, so I've spent a lot of time thinking about this.
Okay.
And there's no other explanation other than the fact that they've set Alex Mack 12 years into the future and never, ever referenced it.
Okay. Have you got any other supporting evidence?
No, but I will not concede.
Okay. I'll buy it. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Isn't that exciting news? Isn't this interesting, the things you can find when you spend like an ungodly amount of time with an obsolete children's show from the 1990s?
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we just need to pour through all of the other episodes to see if there are any forms or calendars in the background to confirm our theory.
So that's this week's Mack theory, that it's set in the future. And I thought that was super exciting. But speaking of things that were super exciting, this episode of The Secret World of Alex Mack, season 2, episode 11, Ray Goes to Washington, Callan, why don't you give us why don't you kick us off with the synopsis of the A plot of this episode?
Well, I just want to start off by saying when I saw the name of this episode, I got pretty excited. I was getting myself ready for another Secret World of Ray Alvarado style episode.
Yeah, right.
I thought he was going to actually go to Washington, but that's not actually the plot. It's basically a student election plot. So we meet a new character, Eric, who's a kind of douchey political sleazebag in their grade, who's won all the other elections, and he wins it by giving kids free rides on his pig, which is pretty good. I'd vote for it.
It's pretty great. The episode legitimately opens with a girl riding through a school quite fast on a pig.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty exciting. I mean, I guess I'd go for the pig ride, but then I just wouldn't vote for him. Because why would you?
But I mean, unless his whole platform is pig rides every week.
That's true. Yeah. So there's an election going on. Apparently, this guy is a bit of a jerk, and he always wins. And so there's a bit of a political upheaval happening. We've got Nicole. Nicole has found a candidate called Paulina, who has, I think it's a Russian accent, or maybe she's from Crimea, but she's got some sort of thick foreign accent, and she exclusively wears red, so that might be a hint. So they plan to go up against Eric, who's the incumbent president, with what I can only assume is a pretty socialist agenda. Then for some reason, Alex and Ray decide to also run. I think they think that Paulina isn't really in with the chance.
Yeah, they think that Paulina's not popular enough.
The school paper shows that 40% of people aren't able to pick out Paulina in a lineup. Yeah, so Ray decides that he's going to run for president as well. So they basically run for president. He's playing dirty. Eric is running a pretty hilarious smear campaign against Ray. Yeah. You know, calling out that he's got a funny middle name and he's not very good at basketball.
And he cried in The Lion King.
He cried in The Lion King. But honestly, who didn't cry in The Lion King? Like, if you say that you didn't cry in The Lion King, you're either a liar or a monster. So,
well, you haven't seen The Lion King.
That's right. Ray decides he's going to play dirty. They find his Eric's debate speech for the big presidential debate. And they decide they're going to read it so they can try and have a better chance. And there's all of these lofty promises in there, you know, being able to choose which teachers you have and calling people by their first name, et cetera, et cetera. A bunch of stuff that high school kids would maybe like. Ray decides he's going to, you know, basically turn his moral compass off and make a bunch of promises that out-promise Eric to try and beat him that way. But then at the big debate, we find out that bloody Eric only went and lost his speech on purpose so that when they would find it, they would write a bad speech.
Eric set them up.
It wasn't a very good setup because the speech that Ray wrote seems to do pretty well for him.
Yeah.
But Alex realizes that he's been set up. She turns into a puddle and kind of moseys over to him, tells him to abandon the speech. No one seems to notice that she's done this, even though it's pretty obvious to Ray is like directly talking to a puddle in front of the whole school. And then Ray decides he's going to throw his support behind Paulina, who has a funny catchphrase. She always ends every phrase that she says by saying "slam dunk"
and saluting.
Yeah, saluting in a pretty fascist way.
Yeah.
Just going to say. Anyway, Eric ends up winning. None of it really mattered. Alex eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and they go and ride a pig.
Meanwhile, Alex's mum, Barbara Mack, she works in PR for the chemical plant, and the big art gallery gala fundraiser, we find out earlier in the episode, it's been cancelled. So, and that was the only thing she's working on. So she just doesn't have to go to work anymore.
That's not how work works, by the way. I just want to say, when there's no work, like I work at a kind of consultancy style place where you work on client works. And if there's no client work on, then you
do other stuff.
You do the stuff, you win more work. Like, you don't just go home and put your feet up. That would be amazing. But yeah.
Well, Alex Mack's mum doesn't put her feet up much. She's encouraged by Annie, her oldest daughter, and George Mack, her husband, to take advantage of the situation and finally, you know, get to relax because she's such a hardworking mum who manages to have it all. And they think that this is a great time for her to finally put her feet up and, you know, catch up on some reading and just chill out a little bit. But Barbara Mack is unable to do that, and instead she has all the spare time at home, so she just does lots of stuff.
Yeah, she cleans the house.
She it's like whenever this show needs to do anything creative in a house, it's always cleaning. Like Alex Mack always uses her powers to clean the house, and Barbara Mack always uses her time off to clean the house.
Yeah,
but then she also makes like extravagant dinners, including a whole suckling pig. What else does she do? She does a series of breakfasts of the world where she serves up like Polynesian stew for breakfast with coconuts that she crushed in the backyard herself.
And she sharpens her collection of knives maniacally.
Yeah. And this kind of just pisses off George and Annie. And so eventually she stops doing things and then she goes back to work.
Yeah, it just fizzles out.
That
both of the plots kind of just ended that way when they were like, oh, I guess everything's back to normal. Yep.
Yeah. Want to ride a pig?
Okay, bye.
Now, Count, I wanted you to read out the A plot so that I could read out the B plot, because I just wanted to say that when that B plot started, when it was like, oh, okay, she's just going to like clean up and do stuff, like your first comment was, oh, boring. But my first thought was, God, I relate so hard to Alex Mack's mum.
Because you've got nothing to do and you're just cleaning the house.
Because I just love having nothing to do and cleaning the house. Like, I just love pottering around at home and like straightening pictures and stuff. It's probably my favorite pastime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can imagine that. I can't imagine you pottering around the house and in a Barbara Mack kind of way.
But this was a really good episode. Did you enjoy this episode?
I mean, it was okay.
It was great. I thought this was a really good one. I thought plot-wise it was really interesting to have so there's the douchey antagonist in Eric Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not Alex running for class president. It's Alex kind of convincing a reluctant Ray to run for class president.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got to kind of keep his enthusiasm buoyed, even in the face of Eric Brooks running this smear campaign and finding out all these like embarrassing personal details about him and spreading them around the school. And then they both have to grapple with the morality of reading Eric's his campaign speech that they find on the ground. And then having the other element of this Paulina, who is actually legitimately a really good candidate. And the episode definitely should have finished with her winning the election. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, I don't know. It did seem like a bit of an anticlimax that they were just like, well, he won. It's all for naught.
Yeah. And especially since because we've talked before about how they always have to kind of reset back to normal at the end of every episode, but I've never seen Eric Brooks before. And I'm sure his role as class president isn't going to have, you know, seismic impacts on the outcome of the rest of the season. Like, she could have just won and it still would have been normal because we never will hear from either of them again.
Yeah, it is interesting that they didn't let her win. Kind of just didn't go anywhere.
Do you reckon it's part of big government's multi-decade plan to instill political apathy in younger generations?
I think that's right. Don't even bother trying.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of the undercurrent. You know, if you are immigrant or person of color, then please do not engage in the political system.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know. It was not a particularly inspiring episode.
It wasn't inspiring, but I just thought there was enough going on. There was enough elements to it that I found it engaging. And like jumping back, even though Barbara Max, the B plot with the rest of the family, was boring and stupid, like it was something to jump back and forth between. There was always just something going on. And in the last few episodes of Alex Mack, there's barely ever been anything going on.
Yeah, I mean, there was some movement and color on the screen. I'll give it that. But, yeah. there was one moment that I did quite enjoy, which was on the B plot with the Barbara Mack B plot. And it's George and Annie both like kind of sitting in the lounge room with their laptops open, right, quite close to each other, to the point where both of the laptop lids are kind of touching each other. They're kind of knee to knee. And they're both taking turns and kind of like giggling, typing something on their computer. And then the computer will make a kind of like bird tweety noise, like like a kind of an R2-D2 kind of computer noise. And then the other one will kind of like look at it like they've received the message and then kind of laugh and write something back. And it was never clear at all what they were doing. I think they just got the brief to be, okay, just like be kind of nerds near each other. And I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were just making weird little computer noises that were amusing to each other, but I quite like that.
Maybe. I kind of got the feeling, my first thought was they were playing Battleship, but on the computer against each other.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
But there was more giggling and less like, you sunk my battleship.
Yeah. And it was also like a little bit unclear why they were so put out by Barbara just doing all of the housework and making them like, you know, gourmet dinners. I don't really understand what the issue was.
It was very funny when Barbara Mack came down and sat down next to them with a big wooden box full of knives that she was polishing.
Yeah. I know. I suppose
like kind of maniacally.
It is kind of annoying when one person is in like a really like I'm gonna be cleany mood and everyone else is in like when you're like, I've been on both sides of that, when you're like cleaning the house, I'm in cleany mood, and someone else is just kind of lazing about and they're like
I'm on dicking around in my computer mode. my old housemate Mark Barker used to do something that he, or someone else coined it, but he carried it with him, called Hurricane Mark. And he was like generally a pretty messy dude. But once every 3 or 4 weeks, he'd just go Hurricane Mark on a Saturday morning and just clean everything. But in a really kind of haphazard way. And just like if there was anything on a counter, like letters or bills or whatever, he'd just sweep them all into the bin. And like he'd thrown out like previous housemates' pay slips and like bills that hadn't been paid yet. So they had to pay penalties and stuff.
Yep. That sounds like that's how you clean, isn't it?
That's how you clean. You just throw everything out and start again.
You use your powers to push everything under the bed.
Yeah. In this episode, Lewis Driscoll said, oh, I can't run for class president. I'm still new here and most kids still don't like me.
Because of my personality.
Because of my shitty, stupid personality.
So, Jack, I hear that you might have a school president story.
Oh, well, I was going to talk about, because it reminded me, this reminded me of two things. The first thing was, I don't know whether this was like a universal thing in this was a primary school one. So from like grades 1 to 6 up until you're about 12 years old. But I remember when my primary school, there was like a school council that the grade 6s were on, and they had some sort of say, very, very minor say, in the running of the school. And I remember, and you kind of hear about what was happening every year, and all the way through every year, someone who wanted to be on the school council, or no, you could make suggestions to the school council of things you wanted to do at the school. And every year without fail, someone would request that the drink fountains would spurt out Fanta instead of water.
Yeah.
Every year without fail. And it never happened.
I wonder why. It's a terrible idea, Jack. It's a terrible idea. Yeah,
would have got my vote at age 10, I reckon.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to mention was when I was in high school, at the end of high school, speaking of school councils, I was the school vice captain. And it wasn't quite a campaign quite to the extent that there was at the Atron Junior High School campaign with, you know, pig rides and parades and stuff. But among other people, I was running against my best friend Hamish for school captain. And In the week leading up to the election, I guess he started a very short-lived campaign of a really badly Photoshopped smear campaign against me. And it was like, he made these posters that were like, vote for Jack if you like kicking puppies. And he Photoshopped a picture of me kicking puppies.
That's pretty good.
A vote for Jack is a vote for eating babies. And there's a vote for me with a baby between two bits of bread.
Did he get it? Did it work?
Yeah, he won. He won the landslide. Still haven't conceded.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's rigged. I don't have any proof, but
yeah, it's definitely rigged.
I was encouraged to run for student office when I was in high school. By one of the teachers. They're like, oh, you know, you should do it, because it was all like footy bros who were running.
Too many jocks. They needed a nerd.
Yeah, they needed a nerd to even it out a little bit.
Too many Scott Morrisons, not enough Kevin Rudds.
That's right. I don't want to be Kevin Rudd in this analogy. Well,
should be more of a jock.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't want to do it initially, but I ended up deciding to do it, and then I put in my application form. And then the same teacher who had encouraged me to do it was like, oh, actually, you're ineligible because you you failed the Christian studies class. Because I was basically just like an annoying atheist when I was 16, refused to engage.
That's really funny. So there was no separation of church and state.
Exactly right. I think it was religious discrimination. You know, I tied myself to a tree and stayed there for the rest of the semester, and I still never graduated high school. But
you still stuck to that tree.
But, you know, that was my hill, and I died on it.
were there any policies enacted by the student council that you would have opposed?
I don't think the student council actually does anything. I think they just talk at assembly sometimes.
Yeah. We read to like the preps occasionally.
Yeah. And there are like prefects and stuff. I don't really know what they do. I remember my first day of high school, and I don't know why my granddad was staying with us, and he lives overseas. We don't see him very often, but he was like in town for some reason. He must have been there for Christmas and we were starting school or whatever. And he was telling me the first day of school, and I think I didn't have a hat yet, and you needed to have a hat, otherwise you got.
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat, but she always got almost.
Sorry.
No, don't never be sorry.
Sorry,
for that.
I got confused. Sorry.
I didn't have a hat, and I was like,
she doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat, but she always got almost.
Sorry, I gotta pay more attention. Sorry.
Yeah, my mom's name wasn't Pat, and I almost never wore a hat. So I didn't have a hat. And I was worried that I was gonna, you know, get in trouble for not having a hat. You're supposed to have a hat.
Yep.
And I just remember my granddad having my school diary open, which had a map of the school, and he was like, had a pen, and he was highlighting on the map. He's like, well, there's going to be a prefect here, here, and here. So if you take this route, you should be able to get into the school undetected. I don't know why he was there or why he was interested in this. This is like maybe one of the like very few interactions I've ever had with him.
Was he sitting there in like a camouflage ghillie suit with infrared goggles on?
Yeah, that's right. He's like, even if they ask for forgiveness, just take them out. No prisoners,
no survivors
in this game we call war. Okay.
Well, I guess that brings us nicely. We had a couple of little previews, but I guess that brings us nicely to.
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat, but she always, well, almost always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat.
How about that?
Yeah, she wore a hat.
She wore hats. Not much going on in the hat department. I mean, she wore some hats, but nothing particularly eye-catching.
Yeah, no, it looked like she was wearing her Quicksilver hat where they've taken a Sharpie and colored out the words Quicksilver. Because of branding issues, I assume.
She was wearing that. She had a she did have a blue kind of fisherman sort of looking hat on, which I quite liked.
Yeah. And she'd opted to turn the brim upwards rather than having it hang low in the casual kind of way.
The casual style to which we are accustomed. She had one of her weird black, like kind of corduroy beanies, like not quite beanie material beanie.
Yeah, beanie baby material beanie.
She had her beanie baby hat. Eric Brooks is always followed around by his, I guess they're like his supporters, his little army of loyal followers who have signs that say vote for Eric Brooks. A lot of them were wearing like straw boater hats, like what you might see a barbershop quartet wearing.
I didn't notice that.
Do you not see that? They're wandering around in the background. I feel like that's a sort of Americana election. I don't know, just a festive kind of an official festive hat.
Okay, well that's good. That's a new hat.
And George Mack wore a hat.
Did he?
Do you remember George Mack? Yeah, when Barbara Mack was serving up her Polynesian breakfast of the world, he had a Hawaiian shirt and a lei and a straw hat with a very fetching colorful band around it.
Yeah, no, that is true. He did look quite festive and fetching.
Yeah,
both accurate descriptors.
So yeah, some good hats. So they all had a hat, Callan. Why couldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't have a hat. But I guess I got away with it because I'm here.
Well, that's going to just about do it for us for this episode of The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack. Callan, have you had a good time?
Yeah.
I had a great time with this episode. I didn't even realize until the scene about halfway through where she used her powers needlessly to open an envelope that was sitting within reaching distance of her. I hadn't even noticed that she hadn't used her powers.
Yeah, I think I was just a little bit let down because I saw the title of the episode and the image that I had of it in my head was much better than this.
What did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be Ray filibustering for like half an hour in Washington. Like, you know how Ray does his kind of like stalling speeches when Alex is like, you know, he's trying to distract people? I was thinking it was just going to be like a long episode of that. but to like canned reaction shots of like legitimate congressmen.
On C-SPAN. It's all on C-SPAN.
Yeah. And maybe there would be like a crawl down the bottom that had some like interesting news stories.
But Ray was really good in this episode.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
Go on.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. No favorite episode. It's great.
Yeah. You're just saying that so I'll stop asking you about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, join us next time on The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack as we watch Season 2, Episode 12 of The Secret World of Alex Mack. Until then, you can email us on secretworldpod@gmail.com. Send in your Mac facts, send in your dick pics, send in whatever else you've got going on. Until then, I've been Jack.
I've been Cal.
My best friend Ray thinks he's the president.
And my sister Annie is asking for a recall.
And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.